Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Longbox Heroes, episode 318. I'm Todd, joined with Joe. How are we doing today, Joe?
Yeah, still getting used to this.
Getting used to what?
I should have renumbered everything when I went through my change of life.
Oh, regeneration?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is.
Well, let me tell you.
Nope.
No.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to episode 318 of Longbox Heroes. What? We'll catch you all here next. Never.
Never. You're killing me, son. You're killing me. But how you doing?
I'm doing good. I stopped to get my fancy root beer beer.
Oh, boy.
On the way home, and yeah, that makes me happy.
How many are you dropping off at the shop for me later today?
I could drop some off for you if you'd like.
Nah, that's okay. I'll buy my own.
You sure?
You give me the name, and we'll do a taste test some night.
That would be our unboxing video.
I would love to do that, an unbottling video.
I think those videos do exist.
Huh, well, we could do more of them.
It makes me so happy that we have a backdoor RSS feed. Oh, that makes me so happy.
Me too. I don't know what that means, but would you like to know what's on the show this week?
I would. I'm getting distracted. I'm an RSS feed mark, so.
I know you are. A director leaves a movie in a flash. A new Marvel universe of books. How many times a month for DC? And an old school character is back. We also have con links and news. Well, don't mind me. Free digital books and sales. What we read last week, which is Civil War 2. I'm sorry, not the original one. Civil War number 6. Detective Comics 943, and the newest issue of Deathstroke for me. I know you didn't read that, right?
I did not read Deathstroke number 5, but you were very enthused about wanting to talk about it, and far be it from me to stand in the way of a man who wants to talk about a book.
That's right. You got one whole email. what we're looking forward to this week. Also, our best character of the week this week is Demon, the best demon. And at the end of the show, we have spoiler-filled talk of Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Walking Dead.
A jam-packed show for everyone.
Yes, that's right. I prefer a jelly-packed show, but that's a different story.
Not a preserve-packed?
Oh, maybe a marmalade. I'm a nice marmalade guy.
I actually had a sandwich that was both peanut butter and jelly for the first time in my life this past weekend.
Wait, what? You've never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I will eat peanut butter, but I was never a jelly fan.
Now, would you eat peanut butter and jam?
No.
Nothing. Okay, so nothing. So no peanut butter and any type of fruity spread at all is what
no,
you're saying.
Chocolate and peanut butter is good.
You're a monster.
But you know how I feel about fruit-based desserts.
No, I don't.
I don't like fruit-based desserts.
Wow, shocking.
But I like jelly beans and stuff. That's not real fruit. That's essentially just colored sugar in a little tablet.
Let's save the jelly jam / jelly bean talk for an after dark. Write that down because
that's a future topic. Just brimming with you're gonna mine that one for gold.
That is, oh my god, I have to talk to you about that one. That one bothers me. But anyway,
okay. So started off by mentioning the director Rick Famuyiwa. I don't know how to pronounce it. Is no longer involved with the upcoming Flash film for DC Comics in their movie universe.
Isn't he the second director?
I think he is the second director. Seth Graham Smith was originally scheduled to direct. He left the project for some unknown reason, and now this guy is also leaving.
And I hear he's going to do Sonic the Hedgehog, which is another speedster movie.
Oh, now see, that's what it is. So he said that he was excited about the possibilities, amazing world of the character that he loved growing up. And then he pitched a version, and he was disappointed when he couldn't come together creatively with the project.
He probably wanted it to be fun.
Mm. Now, DC claims that their new movies are going to be fun.
I doubt that. By fun, the lighthearted murdering movies.
Right. He did give them the high hat, though. He did say he wishes DC, Warner Brothers, John Berg, Jeff Johns, and Ezra Miller the best in their future endeavors.
Oh, interesting. I think I get that joke.
Right. I don't know, but, man. This worries me.
What? Because, hey, how could it be worrisome? Isn't the movie coming out next year?
No. March of 2018 is the scheduled date. But obviously the fact that they haven't begun production yet and they've already lost two directors, I could see that being an issue.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to the murdering speedster with the heart of gold. That's what I want.
A couple things about this. One, I did not know Billy Crudup was in this film.
Who's he now?
Billy Crudup. You would know him best. He's one of those names that I recognize from other things. He was Dr. Manhattan in the Watchmen film.
Oh, crossover.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the Flash books do crossover a lot with all this nonsense that's going on. Oh, my goodness.
I think we found something. And Snyder did the movies?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. What if they do? What if they have a big blue Manhattan? That would be fantastic.
But, so, again, I think we had discussed this before, and I enjoy discussing this fact. I will never forget the Wednesday after the Flash TV show debuted.
Mm-hmm.
Very first episode, you and I both watched it, we went to the comic book shop, we were both excited to discuss it, and it was on that same day, the day after the first episode of The Flash came out, that DC and Warner Brothers announced that they were not only doing a shared universe, which just 3 months prior they said was too soon for them to be doing. They also said, we're not going to use the same Flash in this super popular TV show that just debuted to gangbuster numbers on the CW last night.
Well, because it wouldn't fit in with what they were doing.
Why doesn't it, though?
Because they need something more mellow, more, I don't know, even though he was funny in... It was humorous in the Suicide Squad movie. I don't know. I don't know
why they don't just take two episodes of the Flash TV show, smash them together, and there's your movie.
Do like they did
with the X-Files movies back in the day, where they did like the season finale to the whatever it was, and then it was like the season finale was to be continued in the movie that was coming out that summer.
That's right, and then Ben Affleck could be on the TV show.
Sure,
cross promotion.
Listen, Samuel Jackson, arguably equally as big a star as Ben Affleck, if not bigger, slummed it on a couple cameos on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He didn't slum it. That show, that he made it better and was all, I know what you're saying. But I would like to see that, but it's not going to happen. They want both their universes. That way, the cartoon universes can be their own thing, the TV universes can be their own thing, and the movie things can be their own thing.
But with Marvel, the TV universe is more or less its own thing. The cartoons are inspired by the movie, but, you know, it's more or less, it's like, oh, they look just like they do in the movie, so when kids look, they'll see, it's like, oh, that looks just like the movie, I'll watch this. And they're, like, doing storylines with, like, Kang and, like, Immortus and all this crazy nonsense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They'll, like, name the, like, the new season will start and they'll, like, name the season, like, Avengers Assemble, Age of Ultron. And Ultron will show up in, like, three episodes and the rest of the time they'll be taking on, like, Immortus or something ridiculous like that. Like, it'll be a shot-for-shot recreation of the Korvac saga. But they kind of sort of look like they do in the movie, so kids watch it.
There you go. Hey, you have the best of both worlds.
Right, and that's what DC should be doing.
They should be, but we know DC, their entertainment part of it, like their media part of it, hasn't really done a great job on it, other than the fact that their movies make some coinage. I don't know. So,
and really, at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Pretty much, because I would take a percentage. If they were like, Todd, we're going to make movies about DC characters that you've grown up loving, and we're going to make absolute dreck to you that you will not like, but we're going to give you 1% of the profit, I'm going to be like, muck up my love. Just go crazy.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. 1% is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that off the gross or is that off the net?
Whichever one's bigger, I don't know.
Okay. I think the gross is bigger.
Okay. Does it really matter? The Batman v Superman made $900 million.
Right.
Well, then again, they did give Stan Lee, you know, a bit of one of those jobs that because they did the fancy book work. Remember when Spider-Man movies didn't make any money?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they could do it to you that way, but
right.
I'd still take 1%.
Because, again, the DC movies aren't terrible, but it just seems counterproductive to be doing, like, this big TV universe that's separate from their cinematic universe, whereas, you know, as we said, the Netflix stuff is separate, the TV show stuff is separate, but they all reference each other.
Right, but how is it counterproductive if you're making money off both of them?
Okay.
Because I guarantee you, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. makes no more stuff because it's tied into the movies. None. Not a bit. Because they only touch on it. They're like, oh, this happened, and this happened over here, and here's our storyline anyway. As a matter of fact, they went out of their way to kill S.H.I.E.L.D. to distance it from the movies. But anyway, you tell me your take on it.
In my mind and in my heart, I believe that if the TV and movie universes, whether we're talking DC or Marvel or whatever, were closely tied together, then you would see more viewership on your TV shows. And that's just my opinion. Because if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. first 16 episodes were better, and those next episodes that tied directly into Winter Soldier, that everyone says are so good, but I was already checked out on the show by then. If we knew that going in, like, let's say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. launched out of Winter Soldier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment on, like, granted, not every single episode is going to tie into the movies, but every time a movie comes out, let's say we give a little nod to, like, that next week's episode, like, the weekend after, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of a follow-up. It's better than not doing anything at all.
See, I'd have to argue with that first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because you're saying, oh, well, you know, if it had tied in with Winter Soldier. But it tied in with Avengers, the bigger movie, the guy who died in Avengers. It's like, hey, if you want to know how he survived, watch this show. So really what you're saying is if it was a better show.
Yes.
You would watch it. That has nothing to do with it. It literally came out of the bigger movie.
But, okay, so I guess where I'm going with this is, and yes, what you're saying, Agent Coulson's like, oh, how did the guy who died in Avengers show up here? We'll tell you in 2.5 seasons. You know what I mean? Like, the mystery is there that he's there, but it's just like, oh, he went to a magical place. He went to Tahiti and all this other stuff. But they didn't give you the reveal of what happened for, like, almost, like, 2 seasons.
I thought it was the end of the first season.
I was already checked out by then. Because first 16 episodes stunk so much.
I know, but then your argument doesn't stand. It's not that it wasn't tied in. It was that it was bad.
Okay. But
that's the difference.
What I'm saying is, with the DC stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they make an Arrow TV show and it's Stephen Amell as Arrow in the movies, or you do a Justice League movie and the Green Arrow that's in the Justice League is Stephen Amell,
mm-hmm,
I think that would do better for all parties involved, because you would tell the fan base that cares about that sort of stuff that this is all connected, And then the people who watch the TV shows, who maybe don't care about the movies, will be like, hey, the guy that I like from the TV show is going to be in this movie. I'll go check it out. Or someone who's never watched Arrow sees the movie and sees that it's all connected and like, hey, I really like that Arrow guy in this Justice League movie. I want more of him. Well, lucky for you, you can get more of him every Wednesday night on the CW.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
So
I don't know.
The Flash movie comes out, and I'm like, hey, I like the Flash in that movie. I would like more of him. Well, there's a Flash TV show that's completely different than this guy that you just saw. Well, that's confusing. Yes, it is.
And I bet there would be no problem between the movie execs and the TV execs who probably want two different things.
But listen, you want to make money? You want to be successful? Let's everybody get on board.
Nah. What works in TV doesn't work in movies. They're two different mediums.
Nah. Not these days, they aren't.
What?
So listen, we don't usually talk movies and TVs, but again, this is a big one. We're both Flash fans, and I don't know. We could really go on about this, but we'd just be belaboring the same points over and over again.
That's right. You'd just be keep being wrong, and I'd be keep being right.
Listen, I will acquiesce to you on this one.
You will slap yield to me.
Yes, I don't know what that means, but all right.
It's a tap out.
Oh, okay. Slap yield.
Yep.
Wow. So, London Comic Con was this past weekend, and there was a bunch of stuff that came out of that. Speaking of Marvel and speaking of their Netflix TV shows, apparently at the beginning of 2017, they are building up, I guess, the Daredevil side of the universe. Now, I don't know if Daredevil Season 3 is planned for around this time, but there's going to be an Elektra book, a Kingpin book, a Bullseye book, and a new Iron Fist book. Now, I know there's an Iron Fist TV show coming out here soon, so this is the sort of synergy that they should be doing, I guess, by combining all these things together into one universe. Now, the other thing would be, of course, who are the creative teams on these books is another story.
That's very important. I wonder if they'll swing the Punisher book in, too.
Ah, that'd be interesting.
You know, try to get that on board or not.
Oh, this will be the return of the thing in the 90s where they had the four or five different editing offices.
Yeah.
Where there was, like, the Marvel Edge side, the X side, the Avenger side, the Spider side, and, like, whatever else there was.
They still kind of do that at DC.
I guess.
There's still the Bat offices, the Superman offices.
Yeah, but those like, Batman's in, like, every third issue of Superman, and I see ads where, like, Batman and Little Batman, and or, you know, Damian and Superman. And
Little Batman.
Little Batman, you heard me. Where, like, they're all interacting with each other. There is the Trinity book that has Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman in it. So everyone kind of is commingling over there. Mm-hmm. But remember that day, those days back in Marvel where it's like the X offices are like, okay, there's your mutant books. And like Avengers is Avengers. And the Marvel Edge stuff somehow was like all the grim and gritty characters like your Daredevil and Punisher and the Hulk for some reason.
Well, he was gritty. He was gritty. He was right. Angry.
He was always gritting his teeth on many a covers.
He was like, Hulk smash.
And then the Spider stuff was like all the Spider-Man people, all the spin-off characters, and the New Warriors.
Sure, because they were kids.
I guess. I don't know.
They were like all Peter Parkers. It was young Peter Parkers.
Right, but what it was is like none of those like characters could cross over with the other characters.
I think they could, you just don't remember.
I think there was like some... You know, it was. I know there was. I remember from reading all the stuff about the Spider Clone Saga that there was definitely, like friendly competition between the offices of like who could be putting out better stuff and having more sales and all that sort of stuff.
So the Spider Clone Saga both won and lost that.
Well, we've mentioned it before. The Spider Clone Saga came out of the X-Men doing Age of Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Where they did like the 6-month event where they canceled all the X-books, renumbered them, put them all out as little 4-issue miniseries, and then wrapped everything back up and kind of put the universe back the way it was outside of like one or two people.
Mm-hmm.
That was very successful. Based on the success of that, whoever was the top person, I'm not sure if it was Bob Harris at the time, but he went to all the other offices and said, pitch your version of Age of Apocalypse.
Gee, I'm surprised you didn't do that like Vince.
No, I don't know how Bob Harris sounds.
Everybody's doing Age of Apocalypse now.
I want Spider Age of Apocalypse. But you know, and that was everyone's pitch, and the Clone Saga was supposed to be 6 months.
Right, it got a little stretched out.
But the reason it got stretched out is, as maligned as those books are, and you know, once it starts to get a little stretched out, yes, it gets a little flimsy. But it was one of those things where it was doing so well in the sales, they're just like, oh, you had this storyline pitched for 6 months? Make it go for a year. Oh, you got it pitched out for a year? Make it go 18 months. Oh, we went too far because we promised Dan Jurgens that he would get to write the real Spider-Man, and we might have kind of sort of lied to him. Let's figure out a way out to fix this. You got 3 months.
Wow.
That's the long and the short of it.
Make it all Norman.
That's essentially what it was. If you yep. Bing Life of Riley and spell Riley like Ben Riley,
mm-hmm.
You will find it's an epic is what it is. It's like interviews from like, Comics Bulletin, Wizard, internal press release, you know, or everything. It just like goes so deep into the Clone Saga. I love it. And that's, I think, what gave me a newfound appreciation for the Clone Saga. Just like the fiasco that it was.
You keep pushing that website on me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not going to happen. All I don't want to know about the thing that I don't like.
All right. Fair enough.
Mm.
So hopefully they don't do that with the Daredevil extended universe.
I don't know. I hope they do. I hope they Alpha Omega it. And
okay, good.
Just go crazy.
And just ruin it.
Or make it better.
So some DC stuff that was announced. You know, we had postulated and speculated several episodes ago what DC was going to do with their lines, how there was discussions that some books were going to change from shipping twice a month, other books were now going to start shipping twice a month, and they were going to kind of flip-flop which ones were. But Big Dan DiDio was there, and he did say that there were certain books that were overperforming, certain books that are performing exactly where they wanted them to be. They are going to keep the $2.99 price point, and he did say that they aren't going to be adding any extra books, but the books that are currently shipping twice monthly will continue to do so until the end of 2017. Mm. But he did say that there could be a chance that 1 to 4 titles could go to monthly by the end of the year, by the end of 2017. Obviously, everything is depending on it. He's saying here himself on a 6 to 9 months like a 6 to 9 month kind of sliding schedule to see how those numbers go.
Which is a smart move.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me ask, what have you done with Dan DiDio?
Right.
Because I'm like, this seems like this seems like a good marketing maneuver. Come out strong with strong creative teams and good stories, and then go like, oh, these books are overperforming? Well, we don't want to, you know, oversaturate the market, so we're going to see what does well, and then we're going to slide back what doesn't work as well. And you know, if it's stuff is going crazy, don't stop it 2 times a month, and then we'll work in characters, you know, naturally and as it seems fit. And I'm like, this is the anti New 52 in every single way.
It's almost as out. Though DC learned from their mistakes and are attempting to right the ship.
I don't know. I'm flabbergasted. I'm flabbergasted.
Listen, I love it. You know, we've discussed this before, and even though currently, like, I still have more Marvel books on my pull list than DC, you know, if you were to say, what are you at the end of the day, Marvel or DC, I'm choosing DC.
I'm company fluid.
Right. Like, you know, if you take out all the creators, all, you know, whatever it is, and you just say, who are you? When I look around my house and I look at my walls and I look at the, you know, all the other stuff that I have, I'm a DC guy.
I'm kind of a DC guy too.
Right.
That New 52, you know, tested my allegiance.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. You know, we were apologists. We're like, no, it'll get better. And no, this isn't the worst book ever. And no, there's a couple, 2, 3 good books here. And How about that Swamp Thing?
That Swamp Thing was pretty good.
Swamp Thing was really good.
I wish they made more Swamp Things.
He is, and this is one of the things that I did peeky boo at in the solicitations. After the current storyline of the Tom King Batman, Swamp mm-hmm. Thing is showing up for an arc.
Oh, Swamp Thing and Gotham, they have a history.
Mm-hmm. So another thing that's coming up, at least in February, another thing that we discussed a couple episodes ago was in February we are getting a couple other launch titles. That Super Sons book that was teased at the initial launch almost a year ago. The new Batwoman book that they're actually, you know, they're going to spin it right out of Detective Comics. The January Detective Comics is a two-issue little story arc that's going to lead right into the Batwoman series.
Mm-hmm.
So Batwoman tentatively on my list because of that, because of how good Detective is. But that Justice League of America book that has, like, all the weird and wonky characters that they're doing all the one-shots for. Like, we have the Vixen one-shot, the Killer Frost one-shot, the Atom one-shot. Well, now they've announced the full team. And it's also going to include Black Canary and Lobo. And it's old-school Lobo.
With the hook and chain biker Lobo?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, boy. I was always a big fan of that Lobo. I'm glad they're bringing him back. I enjoyed Cullen Bunn's Lobo, everybody yeah. that they call the pretty boy Lobo. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm a bigger fan of the old school one. I always had the great idea that that I think they should always – what they should have done was they should have changed Lobo up. He should parody whatever's going on in comics satire at that time, because when he was created, you know, it was the grim and gritty era and all that stuff was going on.
Big guns, I would like, big muscles, big, you know, yeah.
Exactly. Like, right now, he should be making fun of independent comics. That's what he should be doing.
So he should be hipster Lobo?
Yes, which, like, he kind of was.
But he really wasn't. He just kind of looked not like Lobo.
Right. And I don't know if a few years ago I met Simon Bisley at New York Con. I got a sketch off him, and he did not like New Lobo.
Oh, I can imagine.
Boy. Oh, boy. And the best way to describe Simon Bisley when you meet him is, did you ever watch, what was that show, the MTV show with the four English guys?
The Young Ones?
The Young Ones. Mm-hmm. He was like the cool guy on The Young Ones. Just like all hip gum chewing. He was the cool guy. I'm not making that up, Joe.
Oh my goodness, the cool guy.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
When you meet him, you tell me what you think.
Alright, if I'm allowed to leave the house, I'll ask him how he's doing.
Alright, turn off those monster trucks and go out once in a while.
If he's at the Monster Truck Show in February, we'll run into each other.
That would be fantastic.
Right.
Comic-Con/Monster Truck Show.
Put it all together. Let's go. Let's get That's Ice right. Capades in there, too.
Oh, boy. And a fireworks show.
Why not? So I think that covers the news. One thing that I did want to throw in there, only because we're both dum-dums, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week. It was in our show notes, and somehow we overlooked it. We kind of got distracted with some stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's been a week now, of course. You know, in today's news cycle, it's probably already out of most people's memories. But I do want to at least mention the passing of Steve Dillon.
Mm-hmm.
Artist on Preacher, amongst many, many other things. But, you know, you would know him as the co-creator of Preacher. He was currently doing stuff at Marvel. He was doing art on Punisher, and I think he had out a bunch of other projects. I think he was most recently at New York Comic Con, which was just not even a month ago.
Yep, he was there.
Yeah, he was there, and, you know, there was no inklings or ideas or otherwise that he was having any sort of health issues, and he, you know, unfortunately passed about a week and a half ago, and I know, he was one of my favorite artists. You know, he just had that distinct style, and when he was on a book, you knew exactly what you were getting, and it was always going to be something interesting. And I know you, Todd, I think you've probably told the story in the show before, but I would be remiss if I did not ask you about your experiences with Steve Dillon.
Which one, the giving him the lighter or the heavy drinking night?
Tell them both.
right, because they kind of tie in. Years ago when I want to say it was right around the middle of Preacher, and it really hadn't taken off yet. Remember, it took a while to take off?
Yeah.
A bunch of us met him at a little New York show. This was back before it was the big Javits Center shows. And I ended up buying a page off his rep and everything, and we got little sketches. I got a Saint Achilles sketch, and we ended up giving him one of the communism lighters, if you know what I mean, to put it politely.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, like, Garth is going to be so jealous. I love it. I smoke. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I just love it so much. So we chatted with him. We got sketches. And then he had to go. And I'm going to say a bad word here, but it's okay the way I say it. He's like, I have to go. I need a fag. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, oh, I just want you to know, in England and Ireland, that means cigarette. And I'm like, I've watched a lot of English TV. I'm like, I know. He's like, oh, okay. So we ended up going outside and sharing a smoke. This is back when I smoked. And I thought that was cool. And then years later, I saw him at a Philadelphia con.
Okay.
And Tom was working, it was and is still working at DC. So at the hotel, we went to the party afterward. Not a party, but in the bar, they were all partying. And Tom was there, and he's like, Todd, come on over and sit down. So I'm looking for a seat. At one point, somebody gets up from the bar and leaves, and I sit down. I'm trying to remember who Shane Davis was there. I'm going to name drop now. Buzz, the anchor, was there, and Steve Dillon. I look over. Steve Dillon's next to me drinking, and everybody's buying drinks, and I end up, my round, I buy drinks, and through the course of the night, me and Steve Dillon end up just chatting for 2.5 hours. Drinking, he's buying me drinks, I'm buying him drinks, I'm making the mistake trying to keep up with him, and that doesn't work. At one point, I say something really stupid. We're discussing what we drank in our days, and I was like, well, I like this, I like that, and I'm going down the list. Every once in a while, I like an Irish car bomb.
Uh-oh.
He's from Ireland, Joe.
Yes.
So he goes, like, shakes. He shakes. I'm like, oh, my God, I am so sorry. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, where we come from, we have a drink. You do this. You drop it in. It's called an Irish car bomb. He goes, wow, I've never heard that. And he proceeded to tell me a story about how when he was younger, he mentioned a famous bombing, and he was either staying with his grandmother or he was with where he lived, like, a block away, and the explosion blew him off the bed while he was sleeping. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. So he grabs me by the ears and kisses me on the forehead and goes, no worries, let's drink. So we drink till the bar closes. I go back to the room. Tom's like, I've never seen you this drunk before. I'm like, I try to keep up with him. The next morning, I'm hangdog. I'm sweating alcohol. I'm dying.
You didn't have to go wait in line to get one sketch from Art Balthazar. Did you?
I did. I actually did. But that's a whole other story. But I go past the table that he's sitting at, sketching for, I can't think of the Heroes Initiative.
Right.
And he's like, he comes out and he's like, boom, hey, how's everybody doing drawing? And I'm just like, somebody shoot me. Just shoot me. And he's like, what do you want? You want a preacher? All right. Want a Hellblazer? All right. Want Saint Achilles? All right. And I'm like, boy. And when I did get a sketch off from that show, and we talked about the lighter, and he wrote on my sketch, cheers, thanks for the lighter, mate. So.
That's cool. That's one of my favorite Todd stories.
Ugh, I was so hurting the next day, Joe. So I didn't get better for a couple of days.
Listen, you think you're a professional when it comes to drinking until you meet a professional.
That's right.
Like, I thought I was the fastest guy around, and then I met Usain Bolt.
Oh, boy.
But Steve Dillon will be missed. He's one of those guys, as Todd mentioned, most people in the industry, out of the industry, had nothing but good things to say about him. You never heard an unkind word about him. Nobody ever had a problem or an issue with him. He stayed out of any sort of outrage situations, and there's been a lot of that lately.
I wonder how Preacher would do in today's environment.
Oh, boy. Again, it's grandfathered in.
It's grandfathered. Well, they'll have that TV show, so that oh, really boy. Good TV show. We'll see how that flies.
You'll have that TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, create your own memory with a comic book creator or celebrity at a convention this weekend. And you can tell stories like Todd, because there's a ton of conventions this weekend. There's the Vegas Valley Comic Con in Las Vegas. James Robinson, J.H. Williams, amongst others, are going to be there.
Hopefully the whole Oakland Raiders team when they move there.
The Akron Comic Con in Akron, Ohio has Alan Davis and Alan Grant. Jet City Comic Show in Tacoma has Fred Van Lente and Pete Woods. The Rocky Mountain Con in Denver. That's going to be a little bit more of your media guest one. John Wesley Shipp, currently Jay Garrick on the Flash TV show. Margot Kidder and Adrian Paul of Highlander fame will be there.
There can be only one Adrian Paul.
There can only be one. Wizard World not only has Finn Balor.
The Demon King.
Bring him some Legos. But they have now, I guess for the front half of the year, Wizard had their touring group of Christopher Lloyd, Michael J. Fox, and Leah Thompson. Now they have Charlie Cox, John Barenthal, and Eldon Henson for the Daredevil TV show.
It's just like that Marvel comic book universe.
Right. But the big one going on this week, I would say, because it actually already started as of the recording of this episode, and that's Thought Bubble in Leeds. It's like kind of like a big artist conglomerate, and then they actually have a comic book convention at the end of the weekend, and it's the biggie. Mike Mignola's there, Erica Henderson, Paul Cornell, Jeff Lemire, Sean Phillips, tons and tons of people are going to be there. So if you are in the UK across the pond, and I actually know some people that are going to be there, I know people that are actually hosting panels at Thought Bubble this weekend. So it's a big deal, man. And you can check out the links to all of those conventions and in the show notes that go along with this episode, as well as links to friends of the show. Rick Williams with his Chop Shop, Mark Cole, who's recovering nicely from his illness at the Winter Palace podcast, and also the other shows in the soon-to-be-named network. I know that Profane Arguments is on vacation right in the middle of election time. Prime Defective has episodes coming out at some time. Podvocacy was off this week. Fresher and Parlance is off. Todd, we're here.
Yes, we are. We are the ball and chain of this network, question mark.
And I know there wasn't a Talking Gimmicks this week. Man, it's like everyone's on hiatus.
Oh, my God.
But anytime a new episode of anything comes up, you can head over to soontobenamednetwork.com or soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com and find out all that information. I do know this, that Brian and I are going to be on Puzzle Warriors 3 this week.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me where I can listen.
You could find the episode when it goes up live on soontobenetwork.com, but two of the hosts, Craig and Ray, are going out to California for BlitzCon. And I didn't know that Midway football arcade game was such a big deal that years later they'd be having a convention about it, but I guess here we are.
Anything could happen.
Oh, wait. Hang on. There's some chocolate smudged on my notes. It's BlizzCon.
Did you, the
publisher Blizzard and the game Diablo specifically.
Oh, did you lick the paper to get it off?
I did. It looks like we'll have another 1,000 years of donations now. Thank you very much.
Wow.
So, also in the show notes, you can find all the digital sales that are going on. Marvel is having a sale on all of their Max Imprint line stuff, and that includes such things as the aforementioned Punisher books. A lot of those have art by Steve Dillon. Alias, which is one of the best books of all time, I would say arguably. A hidden gem in there is the Brian K. Vaughan Hood miniseries. If you've never checked that out, especially if you enjoyed the little bit of the Hood that you saw in Infamous Iron Man recently, you could check out his origins there. Tons and tons of other stuff. Yeah, a lot of weird stuff in that Max imprint, so definitely check that out. Image is having a sale on Witchblade stuff. Warren Ellis is having a sale on a lot of his just indie stuff, like the book Trees, Injection, amongst other things. And then DC is having a sale on all Lantern Corps-related stuff.
Mm.
No single issues in the Green Lantern deal. It's all trades and collections, but there's a lot of good stuff in there.
That's right. That sale sounds like it has a real ring to it.
Ugh. Gross.
What?
The one thing that I would recommend out of that is the Sinestro Corps War. It's a $20 trade that you can get for $6.
Do you remember when that was a really good crossover?
Yes!
Because nothing else tied into it.
Ah, no, one thing did.
Blue Beetle. One issue of Blue
Beetle. There you go. And that was as tangential as... Like, that was an old-school crossover where it was like, hey, we have this big sweeping epic. Who's a low-selling title that we can maybe give the rub to, brother?
That's right. They don't make them like that anymore. It feels like, you know, everything ties in. I'm reading everything, like, twice.
Yep. Oh, speaking of which, that'll lead us into, I guess, what we're going to talk about from this past week. And let's start with Civil War II, number 6, because I have a feeling that that's the book that you were talking about when you said that.
Kind of. It was half of the books I was talking about.
Okay.
The other half was Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Okay, so Civil War II, number 6, written by Brian Michael Bendis with art by David Marquez. So... Todd, I'll let you kind of start things off with how that tangentially crosses over with Steve Rogers' Captain America.
Because at the end of last issue, is it Ulysses? Is that the character's name?
The
Inhuman has a vision that now Iron Man, you know, has the ability to make everybody see. He sees that Ultimate Spider-Man. I can't think of the kid's name.
Miles Morales
kills. He has a vision of Miles Morales killing Steve Rogers. So most of Civil War II is them standing around discussing what they should really do about Miles and everything. And Steve, you know, makes a decision of what they should do. And then when you read Steve Rogers, a lot of all that stuff is almost panel for panel, word for word. Rewritten. Now, granted, in the Steve Rogers book, there's flashbacks to, you know, the whole it's not mind control, it's time travel flashback with Hydra.
Yes.
So there's half that book. But the other half of that book that I'm reading is like, I feel like I read all this in Civil War, and I paid to read most of this book twice, if that makes any sense.
Now, I could definitely see your feelings in this regard just because of the price point on Civil War number 2.
Mm-hmm.
However, I like when this happens, when they kind of fit the big crossover into the other books that I'm already reading,
mm-hmm.
and do it quote-unquote seamlessly, one, and two, they do it in a way, because even the previous issue of Steve Rogers, it was, because up until that point, Steve Rogers, Captain America wasn't touching what was going on in Civil War. But the previous issue was all the stuff that Hydra-controlled Steve Rogers was doing to make matters during Civil War II even worse.
Right.
And I really liked that.
Oh, I do too. I don't know. It just seems like a lot of the same thing. That's just my take on it. And I really have, I don't know how, don't want to complain about it. But like I said, it's just, I feel like reading two books and you're reading mostly the same book is a waste of my time. But I understand how it's got to crossover. That's all.
But that said, a lot of people were really down on this issue of Civil War. And we're kind of in the middle to back half of this 8-9 issue series. With the extra issues and better ending.
That is true. Better ideas.
And it feels at this point that this is the padding issue.
In my opinion, I feel like we've had three padded issues in a row. Three padded issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, granted, I understand crossovers are supposed to be big fights, but it seemed like two of the last two issues were like fights, the lead up to the fight that was almost too much of a lead up, and then the fight starts, and then we get the fight from the next issue. And that leads into the vision of Miles Morales and Captain America. And then this is people talking about the. It seems like issue. What was this? This was issue six. 4, 5, and 6 all took place in a 5-minute window. So when you stretch three issues over 5 minutes, it seems very padded to me, if that makes any sense.
I really didn't feel the padding come into effect until this issue. And I think if I didn't read Captain America, Steve Rogers as well, I probably would have been a little bit more upset, because that was Steve Rogers, Captain America was the stuffing to the turkey that this miniseries may be.
Oh boy. Interesting way to put that.
Well, listen, sometimes you choose your words a little bit more carefully than you do other times. But yeah, it's just, now it's all lining up though, because, you know, and I'm sure if I was still reading the Miles Morales Spider-Man book, I'm sure the issue that comes out this week would also end the same way that this does, and end the same way that Steve Rogers' Captain America does.
And then we'll get the answer to all that a week earlier than we thought we were when it comes out in November.
Oh boy. Maybe. Who knows?
With room for the last issue to come out just before the end of the year.
Right. So you can spend your hard-earned Christmas money on it. But I've seen a lot of outrage and people upset. Different outrage. About this issue and where the miniseries is going. I don't hate it yet. We've still got two more issues.
Okay.
In 2017 on my feelings on this book.
You know, after you've had a week or two to think about it.
Right.
Because it was out before the year ended.
Sure.
Hey, I'm sticking to that story. But yeah, I think you like it a little more than me. And it was funny because as we were going in, I seemed to be more interested in it than you.
Mm-hmm.
So see how things flip and flop?
That's right. It's as though we're crazy people who don't know how to make up our minds.
That is true.
So the next book that we both read was Detective Comics 943, which is the beginning of the next story arc for Batwoman and her crew. We're dealing with the effects of what happened with the Monster Men. We're dealing with the fact that they all believe Tim Drake is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's a new group of people who have come, and they claim, I guess their crux is they're a bunch of people who either Batman was unable to save or families of people that Batman was unable to save.
That's right. They're the Batman Revenge Squad.
There you go. Written by James Tynion, with art by Alvaro Martinez. This continues to be a very good book.
Yes, it does.
I like the design on the Batman Revenge Squad. I thought they all looked definitively creepy. I like that we're still doing all the stuff with Colonel Kane. They've got him locked up, but he's essentially said, the only one I'm going to talk to is my daughter. You could do whatever you want to me, Batman, but I ain't saying a word until she shows up, and she doesn't want to deal with her dad. So they're at an impasse. Obviously, everyone kind of still dealing with, you know, as I mentioned before, the loss of Tim Drake, and everybody gets their little character moments in the book. Spoiler gets her moments, Clayface gets her moments, Rival gets her moments. They all get a moment to do something in this book, and obviously some of the bigger stars are going to shine a little bit more brighter, but it's doing a very good job of balancing and giving each character something in each issue.
This issue, my favorite moments were probably with Clayface.
Yes.
When, like, the reveal in the mud room, which is basically their danger room, is, like, his, reveal when he asks to see something. I'm like, well, that's really cool. I really like that. I don't want to give too much away. And then it seems that they're adding a new character to replace Tim Drake because they need a tech-savvy character. So it looks like it's going to be the Batwing character,
Lucius Fox's son.
Right, who looks like he's turning out to, they're trying to make him the, I don't know if it was before this, because I read the Batwing book in the New 52, but it looks like they're trying to make him the DC's Iron Man.
Oh, that's an interesting.
Well, he shows up, you know, with the thing, the press, and he's doing all this stuff, and Cassandra Kane says that she doesn't really like him because he's smug, and he has, you know, the car that flies. He just reminds me of Tony Stark already. And I think he's got to have his little downfall to help the team.
Interesting. I don't know if he'll have his downfall immediately, but I definitely see where you're coming from.
Right.
But I liked it a lot. I thought it was a really good issue.
Me too.
So the last book that we're going to discuss is something that I am not reading currently. I just couldn't stick with it. I'll admit it. This one's on me.
Which is understandable, because I'm going to get there in a second. And it is Deathstroke number 5 by writer Christopher Priest and art by Joe Bennett. I did not like maybe the Rebirth issue and the first two issues of Deathstroke, but I stuck with it because I'm a Deathstroke fan from way back in the Teen Titans days. Mm-hmm. But what happened was Christopher Priest was writing it a la Black Panther, a la Quantum and Woody with the flashbacks and out of turn, and he was doing it really bad. He was, in my opinion, you know, it wasn't making any sense, and these flashbacks didn't make any sense. I don't know what made me stick with it, but I'm telling you something. An editor at DC said, knock it off, Christopher. Knock it off. You're done with the flashbacks, with the told out of order. And once that happened, this became one of the best books DC is putting out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because at now, Christopher is making Deathstroke the villain that he should be. And in this issue, and the last issue more, because I'm going to talk a little bit more about last issue, because it won't spoil anything in this issue if you want, is he goes to Gotham with his daughter, Ravager, because somebody's put a hit out on Ravager, and he thinks, you know, Gotham is where it's at. And he has planned so hard for Batman, and they just show you how a badass that Deathstroke is. Like, at one point, he's like, you know, I got my eye on Batman, and, you know, I know he's going to send in his little boy. Who puts a little boy in danger, right? And he's like, that's Robin. And, you know, that kid just delivering papers, because before Deathstroke got there, he's like, I checked out every house. Who's home? I know everybody's credit score. I know who they're having affairs with. I know what their mother's maiden name is. And I know who gets the paper and who doesn't. And this kid is delivering papers to the house that don't belong. And he ends up being a distraction. And he ends up kidnapping Damian Wayne while Batman gets Ravager. And it's Ravager with Batman trying to find Deathstroke and Damian in this issue. And it's just Deathstroke with a death trap trying to get information out of Damian. And it is, most of the issue is them just hurling insults at each other. And it's fantastic, because it just makes me feel that it's true. He's truly a bad, bad man. And then on top of that, Deathstroke is really 9 plays ahead of you, because when you get to the end of the book, you're kind of like, this was all a diversion, and this is everything that's happening, and we're not really sure. Batman's like, I'm not even really sure what Deathstroke's up to, because he wants me to think this, and I should be thinking this. And I really like it. It's a great villain book if you're looking for a villain book, but you have to trudge through the first couple issues of Deathstroke to get there.
Yeah, and I just couldn't do it. I tried, but I'm glad it's back on track, and I'm glad mm-hmm. a character that you like so much is having a good issue.
That's right. I'm enjoying it, and I'm going to keep going.
I gotta save that slot for Batwoman when that comes out.
Completely understandable.
Yep.
I may pick up Batwoman too. Who knows? I don't know if you know this. I buy a lot of comics.
Yes. So, speaking of buying a lot of comics, that's what we've read from this past week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. Seamless, Todd.
Oh, we're like a well-oiled machine here.
Yes, and I do want to say, breaking news as we're recording this, I said that most of the shows did not have episodes this week. Podvocacy had an episode come out as this was being recorded.
Wow, I hope they talked about us.
They always get subtle digs in at me, sometimes at you.
They better not besmirch Cinnabon.
Now, I do want to say this. While it is Puzzle Warriors 3 who, for some reason, say that you work at the Cinnabon, April today showed me, I guess, there's a Cinnabon opening up at the Wyoming Valley Mall.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know you know about it. I'm just telling the listeners.
I couldn't say anything. We were trying to, you know, it was going to be a big extravagance. I don't know if they, you know, put the word out yet, but I had a non-disclosure agreement. I know you wouldn't know about those, but I had one.
You knew if you told me, I would immediately blab it to Dave Meltzer.
That's right, you would.
And I knew dirt sheets.
I knew I couldn't get you to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Come on.
No, once maybe, not the second. So if you head over to longboxheroes.com every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern time or so, we put up the pull post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week, whether you get your books in print, whether you get your books digitally, whether you get them in trade, whether you get them mailed to your house, however it is that you get your books, be forewarned, be forearmed, know what's coming out, be ready. And as I mentioned, this is one of my smaller months or weeks in almost 2 months. It's slim pickings for me, and slim pickings is 9 books.
You have 9 books? I have 1, 2, 3, 5. I lost count.
You have 8.
I have 8. So you have more than me?
Yes.
Ah.
So we, Todd and I attempt to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week. Todd is still in the lead with 27 correct guesses. I have 26 correct guesses. You started the show, so you go first, my good man.
I'm looking over your list, and there's a lot of interesting stuff there. There's some big name creators, and you like big name creators. But I'm going to take a swing and go with Unworthy Thor number 1.
No.
No!
You're close, though.
Is it Avengers number 1?
Further away?
Is it Moon Knigget? No. Is it Southern Bastards?
It's the returning Southern Bastards, yes.
Ah.
It's been on hiatus for a while. It's a Jason Aaron book. As much as I'm looking forward to the Mark Waid Avengers book, as much as I'm looking forward to the Jason Aaron Unworthy Thor miniseries, Southern Bastards, man, that's where it's at. That book is so good, and I've missed it so much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's another book. I don't think there's been an issue in 7 months. Oh,
it's
boy.
It's making me see Scarlet. It's been so long.
It's not that bad.
I know.
Come on now.
Hey now.
Let me look. Now I have to see.
You have to know now. Do you have your handy-dandy notebook there?
I said April. It was actually, the last issue came out in May.
See, you were wrong.
I was wrong. I take that back. It wasn't 7 months, it was 6.
Besmirching their names.
That's right. So looking at your list, I think the book you're most looking forward to coming out this week is Cerberus in Hell, number 1.
It is not.
Whoa!
It is Unworthy Thor.
Oh, my goodness.
And just for the record, that I did not know it, it's Cerberus 0, but that really doesn't matter.
Nope, doesn't matter a lick.
But it is Unworthy Thor, because I said I'm looking forward to Unworthy Thor because I hope they announce why he's unworthy, and I hope that gets answered in this miniseries.
All right. I'm looking forward to it as well. It looks like a good book. The art looks nice from the covers, and it'll fit seamlessly into what's been going on. I miss that Thor as much as I like Jane Foster Thor.
Odinson,
there you go, with his big axe.
Mm-hmm.
So, while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out past episodes of this show. Go and check out episodes of Longbox Heroes After Dark. Go and check out past pull posts, just in case you missed something. Go and check out information about our past weekly questions, which we'll be getting to here shortly. And also, check out our store, where we have for sale t-shirts and stickers featuring the fancy art done by our friend and DC Comics artist extraordinaire Tom Derenick. I will have those shirts with me this weekend at AIW's Double Dare Tournament to crown the new tag team champions of professional wrestling.
Don't get slime on them.
No slime. They did that they did that 3 years ago when they did the first Double Dare. They even had Mark Summers record like a little intro for the show.
Really?
Yes, they did.
That's high class.
Called in a few favors.
Wow.
So also while you're over there, if you don't want a shirt, you don't want stickers, you want everything else that's sold in the world, and where can you get everything else that's sold in the world? That would be Amazon.com. And if you're going to buy something through Amazon, use our banner across the top of the page. We get a little bit of a kickback for, quote-unquote, referring you to Amazon, because obviously you'd never heard of it before we told you about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, Todd, within the last week, people were buying stuff like crazy.
It's almost like there's a big holiday coming up.
Well, again, I think a lot of this is stuff for them, But they went someone or multiple people went comic book crazy, buying magazine bags, buying magazine storage boxes, buying all sorts of trades, everything from Avengers World stuff to Winter Soldier to Doctor Strange omnibuses, Fantastic Four omnibuses. People also, and I don't know who did this, purchased a set of 10 Harry Potter $1 million bill props.
Oh!
And in addition to the comic buying frenzy, someone also purchased Walking Dead Season 7, digitally, I assume. And they also went Kung Fu movie crazy.
Oh my goodness. Did they get half a loaf of Kung Fu?
No, I don't know if it's included in the set, but someone purchased a Jackie Chan 8-film box set.
I hope half a loaf of Kung Fu is in that.
Let me check to see if it is.
That's my favorite name for a Kung Fu movie ever.
See, now you got me looking.
Half a loaf of Kung Fu? That's a great name.
They also purchased, I'm guessing this is all the same person, Rumble in Hong Kong, the Bruce and Jackie action pack, which I'll check what else is on that, so just bear with me a second. So obviously while I'm doing this, I do want to thank everyone who did purchase anything and everything through our Amazon link. It helps us out greatly. You know, it makes us feel good about the show that we're doing, pays for server costs, all that sort of jazz, you know, the stuff that you hear all the time. So let's look at the Bruce and Jackie, pack. That comes with, it comes with Fist of Fury 3, Greatest Revenge, Way of the Little Dragon, Master with the Cracked Fingers, and Young Master.
Mm.
The Jackie Chan 8-film collection, sadly does not come with half a loaf of Kung Fu.
Okay.
Now, and see, this is the thing. It says, Jackie Chan, 8-film collection, and then the description says, presented here are 9 classic films.
Wow.
I don't know. So they got an extra film, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and it only lists 8 films, but the description says there's 9 films.
I don't know.
Somebody's being sold a bill of goods on this one.
No returns.
Buyer beware.
That's right.
And the other thing that I want to mention is someone also purchased Ninja 3 The Domination.
Ooh.
Which might be coming up a little bit later on in discussion about the TV shows. Who knows?
You never know.
You never know. So thank you everyone who purchased anything and everything through our Amazon link. It just makes us feel good.
Oh.
So let's get into Best Blank for this week. That was Etrigan the Demon, the Yellow Guy, created by Jack Kirby. Todd claims Jack Kirby's only good creation.
At DC.
Okay, fair enough. I'll give you that. I was going to fight you that he wasn't as good as Captain America.
Yes.
But yeah, he's such a weird character. The fact that, like, he exists and is used on a regular basis, to me, is so weird. Like, who would be his, I would guess, doppelganger at Marvel? You know, like, how, this is kind of like their Batman, or this is kind of like their Superman, or this is kind of like their Captain America, whatever. What character would be the equivalent of Etrigan at Marvel?
Hellstrom.
Okay.
He's not a demon, but he is the son of a demon. And he has the pentagram on his chest, and he has demon-like powers. So I'm going with Hellstrom.
Not Blackheart?
No. Nobody really knows who Blackheart is other than they couldn't use Mephisto in that great Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider movie.
Okay. I guess we'll say Hellstrom.
Mm-hmm.
So we did have some people mention what their favorite iterations of this was. The aforementioned Mark Cole, of course, mentioned the Kirby demon, but he said that the Matt Wagner demon miniseries is very underrated. Stiff Peg Pete mentioned a Alan Grant, Norm Breyfogle storyline in Detective Comics with him and Batman, of course. So what about you, Todd? What is your favorite iteration, story, version, whatever?
My favorite version of Demon was always the one from the animated series. I always really liked that. I think because he was. I actually like the idea of him being stuck together with Jason Blood, but I thought they did a good job in the couple episodes of the animated series that they used him in. You?
I would say that's probably where I saw the most of him, if anywhere. You know, I enjoyed his appearances in Sandman, of course.
Right.
I would have to mention, and I'm just trying to find her tweet about it.
But I think I know who you're looking for.
Yes. So to say the animated series would be the best, of course, I would also have to mention specifically our friend on Twitter, Annie the Kitty, specifically mentioned and had a little screen grab from the animated series where Etrigan was a baby.
Mm-hmm. And he was burping fire, I think.
Right. And this is when, why is there not a DC Babies book being published? I will never know.
I don't know. There should always be, listen, there should always be a Babies book being published, and how there isn't in that Scooby-Doo lineup and Titans Go over the years. There's not a Captain Carrot book. How is there not?
Oh, boy. They've teased it a bunch of times.
Don't get me started.
All right. So, thanks to everyone who participated, tweeted, commented, or otherwise in regards to our best character. We're going to go a little bit off schedule here because we're getting toward the end of the year, so we're just going to mix it up and kind of throw in whoever we can think of. This time, Todd suggested, since he's been enjoying the recent relaunch of him at DC, let's talk about the best iteration of Slade Wilson, Deathstroke the Terminator.
Not Wade Wilson, Slade Wilson.
Well, that was going to be my joke. I was going to say, I can't say that the best version of Deathstroke is the ripoff of him at Marvel, which is Deadpool. Imagine that. That's the world that we live in, that Deadpool started out as a ripoff of Deathstroke.
I don't know. I don't think he's a ripoff. I think he's an homage. There's a difference.
A loving tribute.
Yes.
And that's one of the few instances where the ripoff, the homage, becomes essentially bigger than the person that they're ripping off.
I don't know. We could probably come up with a few.
I'm sure I almost demand our listeners tell us other characters in comics specifically where they ripped up, like, they're like, oh, that's a great idea, we'll just rip him off, and then he becomes bigger than the thing they ripped off.
Look, you want to switch it to that question?
No, I like Deathstroke.
You do like your stroker of death.
Mm-hmm. Asa has a little Deathstroke Funko Pop in his room.
What one?
He's like, you know, it's
classic looking Slade.
Yeah, like, well, I guess, like, it's the more newer look, I guess, because it's a very dark blue and the purple. He's got, like, a gun and a sword and the whole thing.
But it's not the TV show one.
No.
Okay.
No. I know he's gone over, like, slightly different costumes, some that were, like, more orange and, like, gray, kind of, because they were trying to, like, say that he had, like, chainmail, and then, like, the ones where he didn't have the mask on. And we're talking about next week's question here, so forget we're even saying all of this.
Okay.
So, is there anything else that I missed outside of TV talk?
Not that I can think of.
All right. So, we are going to get into TV talk, discussing The Walking Dead, discussing The Flash, discussing Legends of Tomorrow. So, if you did not watch those things, you do not want them spoiled, or sadly, you do not care about those things, we bid you adieu. And we will catch you all here next week, and then we'll give you a couple seconds to skedaddle if you don't care about these shows.
Mm.
All right, let's get into Flash, since that's the oldest of the TV shows here.
Mm-hmm.
This episode entitled The New Rogues, which has Mirror Master and the Top. Mirror right. Master, who got his powers from the particle accelerator and has been trapped inside of a mirror for the last 3 years. And the Top, which is his girlfriend, was locked up, apparently.
Right.
And Barry and Jesse decide to take them down. Jesse is still being trained about all of this, and we're starting to see a little bit more of Caitlin not being able to keep her powers under wraps or under control or such things.
Right.
What did you think of this issue or this episode?
I thought it was an okay episode. The storyline that interested me the most, though, was the message into the multiverse looking for Wells.
Ah, yes, well, yes. I forgot about Wells. The C story, looking for the replacement Wells, because now see, this struck me as strange because so Wells is going back to Earth 2.
Right.
Because he can't be away from Earth 2 for so long, I guess, was their logic.
No, I think he just doesn't want to be that. He's got to go take care of stuff on his planet. I don't really understand all that, but I don't know. The way I look at it is, you know what? We've had one Wells who was killed and turned into Eobard Thawne. Then we had one Wells who was working with Zoom, but then came back to the good side. So it seems like every time they have a Wells, it seems like a good idea. So let's just bring more in. I don't know. I think they're going to the Wells once too often. But I don't know. I see this new Wells, and I have to get used to a new Wells. I don't know. I just think it's a very weird storyline in the middle of all this, in a story that should be more about Mirror Master, who's one of my favorite Flash rogues, okay. Who I kind of liked, but... What were you
going to
say?
I enjoyed Wells getting a chance to stretch his acting chops.
Mm-hmm.
To essentially community theater up a bunch of different versions of himself.
The old West Wells?
Yes. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It will take me a little while to get used to fun-loving Wells.
Mm-hmm.
With his pork pie hat. I didn't say hipster Wells. Everybody calm down. So... that'll take a little getting used to. I did like how they mentioned that on Earth 2 there is another Mirror Master.
Yep.
That was an awesome mark-out moment for me. And I did not like the villains in this episode, primarily because you had the tease at both the beginning and the end of Captain Cold. You had Captain Cold in flashback, you had Captain Cold in a hologram, and now... we're supposed to care about these other two villains who are not Captain Cold? Come on.
I don't know what to tell you. Other than my biggest thing was, and I know, you know, like it goes back to like when I was complaining about the red on the insignia on the Flash costume, you know, like they got around to changing that. I need to see how they're going to put Mirror Master in an orange and green costume.
I think I was sad that he wasn't in an orange and green costume. He was just a guy in a suit, and like not like a guy in like a superhero suit, a guy in a three-piece suit. That's not Mirror Master.
Right, who's enamored by his own looks.
Nope.
So that's why he's the Mirror Master? Like, not the Mirror Master, he has the powers of the mirror, but he got bitten by a radioactive mirror, and now has the proportional powers of a mirror. But I don't know, it just seemed like, you know, he was with his looks and he was near a mirror when the reactor went off, so that's why you have mirror power. I want orange and green gun Earth 2 Mirror Master. Right. Bring him over. I don't mind that they made Top a woman, but I'm trying to, you know, because you can still do it, but Top was a guy who was in love with Captain Cold's sister.
Right.
So there was Golden Glider. So there's a whole story there that I don't think you can do now unless they, you know, get into the Top and Golden Glider get together. But isn't she dead though now for some reason?
No, I think she's still around somewhere.
Okay, I get confused with all these Flashpoint timeline things. I forgot whether we killed her off or not. But I don't know. I would have liked to have seen Captain Cold not liking the Top macking on his sister, but. I'm looking at things from the comic in my mind.
I get you. And the Top is another one whose outfit in the comics is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, she's just a girl with a skirt who's suede.
Right, but it's the green and yellow colors, at least.
Right, it's at least the color scheme.
The suit was nowhere near what Mirror Master is.
I am ragging on the episode a little bit, but I did enjoy it. Still better than most other superhero TV shows out there. Mm-hmm. And I may be looking at this one with blue-tinted glasses because Wentworth Miller was in it.
That's right. I'm still Team Heatwave, man.
Well, let's get into that, because Legends of Tomorrow, they land in feudal Japan because What's-His-Face gets his steel powers. Nate Haywood gets his steel powers. He falls out of the Wave Rider. They have to go find him. Ray loses his suit to an evil shogun while back on the Wave Rider. Dr. Stein and Jax are trying to find a secret room that no one knew about.
Right.
Also, Heatwave thinks ninjas are real, and he specifically cites Ninja 3 the Domination as proof that ninjas are real.
Which is fantastic. That's why this episode
was a Heatwave tour de force.
That's right. That's why Heatwave's better than Captain Cold.
I'll give him one episode, but his overall arc, no.
This is one of those things that we're going to butt heads on.
You're
Team Cold. And in comics, I'm Team Cold. But in TV, I'm Team Heatwave.
Nah.
And he's fantastic in this. And I love how, like, everything that's going on with Vixen is, like, she just hates him, but is slowly coming around to maybe respecting him a little bit.
Right.
Because he's still, you know, one of the bad guys, but he stands up for the team. And I like Mick. He's the Guy Gardner of Legends of Tomorrow.
I think Guy Gardner was the Han Solo of the Justice League. I would not say that Heatwave is as charming as Guy Gardner or Han Solo.
He charms me every time he's on the
screen.
Well,
listen, I think that's all that matters, as long as he's charming you.
That's right. And in this, we end up having Ray lose his suit, but find out what a real hero is.
Which is the same thing. Like, that's his running theme, because Vixen called him out on it last episode about that.
Do you think he's going to end up getting shrinking powers, like, himself?
He's going to inject himself with the altered Nazi drug nuke from RoboCop 2, possibly.
I was thinking something serum-wise that he gets to shrink on his own, and he gets a cool Atom suit.
Interesting.
And he's no longer Iron Atom anymore.
And I will say this. Speaking of Iron Atom and the special effects on the show, the special effects of Nate turning into steel weren't terrible.
Yay, praise from Joe.
It did look kind of like the effects of the T-1000 in Terminator 2, movie from 24 years ago, but it is TV, so I will give them a pass.
I love Steel. He looks great. He looks metallic.
I actually like Steel as a character on the show. I like, you know, seeing his interaction. He's a much welcome addition to the cast for me.
I think he's going to look better once they give him a costume.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to cover most of that.
Yeah.
And then you're just going to see maybe his hands or his face in the chrome.
Right. He's not going to go full steel every episode.
That's right. Or even if he does, it's going to be less. It's like, all right, get the stunt guy to put a green bag over his head and two green mittens, and he's ready to fight.
We'll fix it in post.
That's right. Chromium is here.
And I think White Canary's been really good, too. I think all the characters, first episode of the season, no. But the last two episodes, I think she's been great.
I do like the fact that she had that little grudge match with the underling Shogun Warrior.
Yep.
That was really cool.
And then, just as the side note, so while Stein and Jax are looking for that extra room, they find, like, all those crazy weapons, but then they also find a recording from Barry Allen 40 years in the future.
And or even further.
They know what it is. They know what it is. It was a message that was intended for Rip, but now they know it, and they're not supposed to know what it is, and they're not telling anyone.
Right.
So there's going to be your mystery of the season, and obviously you've still got them trying to, you know, fix any sort of time anomalies and also find where Rip is, if he's even still out there.
and find the time travelers who killed Hourman.
Right. So there's a lot going on. We've established there's like three or four different plot threads that they could grab onto. And just three episodes in, I feel, you know, this is a little bit more cohesive now that I guess, you know, because we talked about last season where it was originally supposed to be like 8 or 10 or 12. And then they added a bunch of extra episodes, and those extra episodes were just kind of like, they kind of felt weird.
Mm-hmm.
Where now, I think, since they have a definite plan, and they have their 12-episode order, whatever it is, doesn't look like they're going to be adding episodes in the middle of the season for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that this keeps them on track, because I like the three or four little storylines that they got going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking like Legends of Tomorrow. I'm still on board for it. Again, I'm a DC guy.
Of the DC TV shows, which I'm not watching Supergirl, I have to get around to, I like Legends of Tomorrow the most because it's pretty much the most action-packed. There's not a lot of downtime, not a lot of stuff. It's just like, hey, we need to move this along fast. Let's fight things. And I'm like, I could deal with that every once in a while.
All right, so the last thing that we're going to discuss is the most recent episode of The Walking Dead entitled The Well. And we're going away from what we saw last week, and we're picking up with what's going on with Carol and Morgan. As they are now in the kingdom, we are introduced to Ezekiel and how his group at the kingdom ties into the Saviors.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did you hate this episode as much as everyone else apparently did?
Everybody hated this episode. I love this episode.
So many people came up to me and said how this episode was boring. They didn't like this episode. Blah, 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 blah. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I like these come down episodes. I really like Morgan as a character. I like Carol as a character. I really like their interactions with Ezekiel. I liked all of this, but it was just, like, everyone I talked to, everyone to a point, was like, nope, this episode stunk.
Which is funny, because I watched it with the Fancy Gentleman, and he knew nothing about Ezekiel,
mm-hmm.
and, like, he's like, I love Ezekiel. Ezekiel's fantastic. And I'm like, yes, he is. As you slowly figure out his gimmick,
yep,
it's like, because obviously we knew what his gimmick was from the comic.
Right.
So it wasn't like, you know, like, because as you're watching, I can imagine as a fan of the show who's not watching it, I figured people would like it. Is he crazy? Is he a jerk? Is he this? Is he that? And as you slowly find out that he's just, you know, a zookeeper, that's where he got Shiva. And, you know, he ended up giving the people what they wanted or needed. And even though Carol thinks it's a game, he's like, you know, people have to believe in things to do things. And I'm like, I really like the way Ezekiel unfolded over the course of an episode. And they didn't draw it out, which I think is fantastic.
Right.
They could have drawn that out too long and lost it, but you get the full character. Now he gets to go back into kayfabe for all the people around him.
Brother.
And his number two, the guy I think I would be in The Walking Dead. if I was in The Walking Dead, that's the guy. Just like giving peace signs in the background. Like, hey, have a mango or whatever it is.
Being a goof.
Being a goof, like in the zombie apocalypse, that would be me. So I completely understand that character. And once again, I love when we get to see Possum Carol. Possum Carol is my favorite Carol.
Okay.
Like, oh gosh, darn it, everything here is so nice. We get breakfast cobbler and lunch cobbler? I do declare.
Now, as much as I enjoy it, being that we're in on it,
uh-huh.
Like I don't think I love it as much as you do.
Uh-huh.
But again, I definitely get what you're saying. You know, uh-huh. When she's kind of playing the like the babe in wait, like oh golly gee, Mister, and all that sort of jazz. But we know what Carol really is deep down inside. So,
and she did it the first time she was in Alexandria, and Ezekiel even like calls her. He's like, "Don't you know, bull a bull, you know?" Yep. And he's like, "You're this, and you get the trust, and you take what you want, and then you slip off." And I'm like, "This is fantastic." I don't know. I really like this episode, and I mean, he has a tiger. Come on,
right? And it did not appear to be like. Now, we talked about the questionable special effects on Legend of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was a fake tiger.
I don't know what it was.
I definitely think that was a real tiger. Now, if I watched The Talking Dead, maybe they might have informed me.
Oh, well, after Hardwick was all emotional because of how great the episode was, as he oversold it, even though it was a really good episode, he might have told you. But I can't deal with that anymore.
And it was pointed out to me that possibly my favorite comedian, Dana Gould, was on as a guest. And even that, I'm like, I don't know, it is The Talking Dead.
Yeah, hey, it had one of the greatest panelists in the history of panelists ever.
I wonder how he's doing. I wonder if he's okay. I wonder what his ear looks like now.
Probably very vegetable-y.
There you go.
And while all this is going on, we see how the saviors are interacting with the kingdom.
Yes.
Which, you know, they're not very nice.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see how far, like, this is also a good episode, I thought, in to show how far-reaching their pull is.
Mm-hmm. And I like the whole nasty trick they're playing with the pigs.
Oh, yeah, forgot about that. So, they're feeding the pigs that they're giving to the Savior zombie meat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what their logistics behind it is. I'm sure they think zombie eats pig, person eats pig with zombie meat inside it, they become a zombie too, then profit?
I don't know. I think it's just kind of a eh to you guys.
Right.
It feels good. But then again, they take some of the pigs home, so I don't know if they're feeding their own rot. You know what I mean?
See, because zombie might taste like pumpkin pie, but I would never know because I would never eat one.
Either would I. I'd rather eat the zombie than a pumpkin pie. Right. It's that Thanksgiving zombie pie.
Yes. But no, all the shows I thought were really good this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was brought up to, you know, on other forums, Reddits, and so forth, of like why we don't talk about more shows like Lucifer or, you know, whatever it is. I feel as though we're talking about three shows. If we added a fourth, then we got to talk about 10.
There's something about we're on Reddit somewhere.
It was me on Reddit commenting on Puzzle Warriors 3.
And somebody came out swinging at you because we don't talk about Lucifer.
Swinging. It was just I think I had made some sort of snide remark about them watching Comic Book Men or something.
Ugh.
Right.
I would like to watch more comic TV shows.
Yes,
I just don't have the time. You have all the time in the world now when you're not root beering it up.
Right, when I'm not root-beering it up. Hey, Asa, let's watch Stan versus Evil. What's it about? Well,
it's Stan versus some evil.
Stan is a sheriff, and he is helping the new sheriff fight 174 witches who look all like zombies.
Oh, okay. Daddy, can we watch Doctor Who?
No.
Hmm?
I promise I would never hit my child, but don't say that again. All right, so I think that covers everything.
Long episode.
No, listen, don't be looking at the clock. Come on.
I don't know. I could just tell. I could tell it's long. I could feel it in my bones.
All right. So for Todd, this is Joe closing out episode 100. Or listen to me, 100. Jeez, I'm crow. 318 of Long Box Heroes, and we will catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop! Here we are, week 9. It's the Asa James football picks. And one of his favorite songs is playing in the background. Asa's not feeling too good, but he knows how important it is. Because he wants to win the football picks. Right?
Yeah!
You hear he's not feeling too well. So Asa, who's going to win? A Falcon or a Buccaneer?
Buccaneer.
A Cowboy or a Bulldog? A Lion or a Viking? Jaguar or a Chief?
Chief.
How about a Jet or a Dolphin?
Jet.
eagle or a giant? A steeler or a raven?
Raven.
A panther or a ram?
Ram.
A saint or a 49er?
49.
A colt or a packer?
Packer.
A titan or a charger?
Titan.
A titan or a charger?
Charger.
A bronco or a raider? And last one, a buffalo or a Seahawk?
Seahawk.
All right. That's the picks. We will watch that movie later. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that one either. So is there anything you want to say to everybody listening out there? A special message you have for them? He's just blowing air into the microphone with a straw. Alright everybody, thanks for listening.